Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
I really do love the fact, you know, I kind of tease him a little bit because Senator Schmidt is on so much national media, but he is a likable, very real, authentic person. They had him on Fox earlier talking about the grandstanding by Chuckie Schumer and the Democrats.
Well, the solution's pretty simple here, which is the fact that Chuck Schumer and the Democrats have a choice. They've repeatedly over a dozen times now voted against reopening the government. I think the liberal media, the legacy media is even having a hard time coming to their aid and explaining why they would do it. You've got SNAP benefits, 42 million Americans, including and especially kids who are going to be affected starting this weekend, military members that may or may not get paid. President Trump's trying to put at the top of the list for priorities to make sure they get paid. But you got ICE agents, other people who are just not being paid because the Democrats don't have another play in their playbook. They just know how to fight Trump. It's this resistance movement. They're more interested in grandstanding than governing. And so we're on week five here, and the Democrats will continue to be on the spot here. But there's no other place to go except to reopen the government, give us time to work on appropriations bills and get on with the people's work.
So I'm sensing, and I said this at the beginning of the show, that maybe the pressure is increasing on the Democrats after saying so many different stupid things here. We've had even some legacy media members who have pushed back at some of the Democrats going on trying to convince the American people that this is all Donald Trump's fault. And the Republicans, Dwayne Patterson, who writes at hotair.com, the host of the Dwayne's World podcast, back with us this afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. Hi, Sue.
You know what? You gave your hi, Sue, at the beginning of the interview, and she's not even in the studio. See what happened?
Oh, man. See what happens.
I'll give you the window to do that again because she's a fan of yours. But let's talk about where you think this is heading right now with the shutdown. I'm going to have a little time here in the segment after, or maybe even an audio cut of the day, to play Jake Tapper with a member of Congress. Did you see that interview?
Yeah, wasn't that something? That was Melanie Stansbury, who was trying to work this thing up as a Republican shutdown. And not even Jake Tapper was buying it anymore, right? And Jake Tapper is not exactly somebody you confused with a Fox News host, right?
No. And, I mean, I've seen this, unfortunately, you don't see it very often, but I've seen a little honesty in some of this reporting, even on MSNBC, where they said, look, I mean, you guys are not voting to reopen the government, so how can you tag Republicans with this? I think they finally sit behind their ivory towers and realize they have to ask a couple of questions that are on point, so maybe we're getting some of that. So I do sense, Dwayne, that there's more pressure on these Democrats because Harry Enten's on CNN waving his stuff around saying the Republicans are not losing in the polling in this fight. So are we going to have some movement here in the next couple of days, do you think, or does it drag on?
Yeah, not just not losing. They're actually the House Republicans, while being on basically break for the last 5 weeks, they've improved their – the House Republicans have improved
gone
their
up.
Standing by 5 points.
Right.
So I I really don't think this can and will go on much longer. We had news today that there was another ground stop at Newark Airport, which is United's East Coast hub. There's 350 flights that United flies alone, let alone all the other, it's an international airport. United, imagine being on one of those connector flights and everything just got hosed because the Democrats are the party. It's the no caucus. They're saying no to all of this. Now, it's a mad weird flex here when they have voted no 13 times to reopen the government. And so now SNAP benefits, which are part of that funding that they're saying no to, SNAP benefits are now not going to be paid out because the Democrats have said no 13 times. And they're mad about that. And so now they're threatening to sue Donald Trump over something that they have voted 13 times to say no to. That's got to be a hell of a court argument to file,
but
right?
But at what point do they actually realize what's happening to them? You have MSNBC hosts that are pushing back on the Democrats right now. We're in new territory here. So are they just going to stick by their guns? I mean, the House Republicans are staying away. Mike Johnson's keeping them out of Washington. They haven't been there for 29 days. Now you have the House Democrats carping about, you know, getting work done. Yeah, let's get some work done. Open the damn government back up in the Senate.
Well, let me give you the dynamics of this, because it's going to end. We know it's going to end relatively sooner than later, but here is the interesting dynamics that's fascinating about this. You've got a handful of special elections that are going to take place on Tuesday, right? You've got Jack Cittarelli and Mickey Sherrill, for a congresswoman in New Jersey,
big
for
race.
Governor.
Big race.
And, right, big race. And in Virginia, you've got Abigail Spanberger, another Democrat congresswoman, running against Winsome Sears for governor in Virginia. And here's the problem. If the Democrats realize, which they do, that they're not going to get anywhere and it's game over, they've got to find a way out of this. The second they bail out of this, if they do that before those gubernatorial elections, do same-day voting on Tuesday, what do you think that's going to do to the turnout of their base on Election Day in those races?
Will dampen the turnout. Right. So you're arguing that this will go on at least through next Tuesday because of those elections, which makes sense.
Right. But here's what makes this such a fascinating thing. That's the conventional wisdom, that they're going to have to wait until after Tuesday before they throw up the white flag of surrender. The problem is, it's looking more and more like they're getting dragged because of CNN polling, and MSNBC is suggesting that they've got polling that the Democrats are fizzling on this. They're in a no-way situation, because if they ride this out until Tuesday,
more damage.
They're going to get slammed anyway, because they're losing on the argument.
So there have to be some people, you know, putting their heads together to try to figure out what the exit ramp is for the Democrats. I mean, for Schumer in the leadership, it's just been an embarrassment. Now, you're not hearing from a lot of folks, you know, in the rank and file of the Democrats on the Senate side. At least I'm not. You know, I hear from a couple of them. I hear from more of the House side Democrats bitching about this, even though they've already done their job on the House side, sending this to the Senate. So I think it will be interesting. Now, on those races that you mentioned, I'm frustrated because it doesn't seem like Winsome Earl Sears has, you know, closed the gap enough with Spanberger. It looks like Spanberger might win that. Jay Jones probably will lose. But man, why is that race? And unless you have more hope than I do, Glenn Youngkin, you know, when he came in there 4 years ago, that was a big moment in the election cycle. It kind of signaled some changes around the country. What's going on with Spanberger? She's a better candidate, I'm told, because Winsome is a little bit more folksy. Is that it, or is there more to it?
I think there's a lot of things that are fluid in that whole thing, and I think, yes, the conventional wisdom, the odds are that Spanberger's going to eke out a victory a lot narrower than she intended or everybody thought that she would. The problem in Virginia right now is nobody really knows what same day is going to be in Virginia. Nobody's quite sure how this is going to play out. And look, the thing with Winsome Sears, there was an Atlas Intel poll released, I think, Monday of this week that polled over the weekend in the Commonwealth, and it was within a point and a half, which is certainly within margin of error. I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't think anybody quite knows what same-day turnout's going to be. Remember, Northern Virginia is chock full of federal workers who have been furloughed. They're grumpy. Do you think that every single one of those believes that it's Donald Trump and the Republicans' fault? Because I don't.
No.
The federal government employees union, the head of that union on Monday said, under no pretenses, said, look, I'm not going to pick sides at who's wrong here. End this shutdown right now. Vote for the clean CR. Well, the Republicans, he's not having to say that to because they have voted 13 times for the clean CR. He's talking to the Democrats. The union members know who's shutting this down. They know who's starving them.
So even let's say, and it's not going to happen, let's say miraculously tonight they get the votes in the Senate, the government's reopened. They still have to do this thing again in a couple of weeks, right? So both of these deadlines could kind of meld together. I mean, if they don't reopen this thing in the next few days, this could absolutely drag on through the holidays, or at least through Thanksgiving.
Right. The dumb thing about this is we're 5 weeks in to what would have been a 7-week clean CR, right?
Mm-hmm.
The whole purpose of the clean CR was to give the Senate Appropriations Committee the chance to finish its work and get some appropriations bill through. The House was finishing up some of their appropriations bills. They had already done a handful. They had 3 or 4 left that they needed to finish work on. They just needed to buy some time to finish the regular order, the normal process, where we hash out issues like, what do we do if we're going to end these subsidies? What's going to take its place? That's all stuff you do in committee where it belongs. Instead, Chuck Schumer is doing the sheriff scene coming to Rock Ridge out of Blazing Saddles. He's holding himself hostage.
Yeah, and it's going to be fascinating to watch. Let me ask on a couple of different topics here. Kamala continues her book tour. Did you see some of the questions that came up in Australia today?
Yes. Who's selling more books, by the way, right now? Kamala Harris or Corinne Jean-Pierre? Asking for a friend.
You know what? That's actually a valid question. I would guess Harris, but gosh, I don't know. But it was funny because...
Probably not by much, though.
No.
And neither one of them are selling.
No, but she's over there in Australia. She actually makes... This is stunning. We're trying to find the audio. I saw this on Fox earlier, and we weren't rolling, but Ethan's trying to find it. She actually makes the case with an Australian reporter that she thinks if Joe Biden were reelected, that he would have been fined the next 4 years in the White House. I mean, how could you at this point... And KJP's doing the same thing with a straight face, make any of these arguments, because it was on full display. It's not like this just happened at that debate last year for the first time. It had happened several times in the years leading up to that. But they're still out there trying to make the case when everybody knows you're full of you-know-what on that topic, but they keep saying it.
Kamala Harris, who we lampoon for being the least articulate candidate on the stump since the founding— And she comes down and she tries to do this weird mad flex of, well, what I'm trying to say is Joe Biden was not competent enough to be and rigorous enough to run for president. He didn't have the rigor and the stamina to be able to do the campaigning stuff. But the president stuff, oh, that's easy. He could have totally done that. Sorry.
That's the case.
No sale.
No, so Ethan's finding that audio. I'm probably going to use it for audio cut of the day because she gets pressed on that pretty hard from the Australian reporter, and I find that interesting. All right, listen.
One is going to believe that. Not even MSNBC is going to believe that argument.
Well, interestingly enough, I have a tie-in. I'm going to use some audio here as we wrap up, and I thought maybe Sue would be in here so you could say hi, but she has still left the premises. So, Dwayne Patterson, always great to have you on. You have a great week and a great weekend. We'll talk soon.
You got it.
All right, take care. I will share your sentiments with Sue, but I wanted to play some of this audio here. And this is something I would not have expected, especially from Jake Tapper, who's king of the BS, right? But there's a congresswoman from New Mexico, Melanie Stansbury, who does an interview from the House chamber, not the chamber, but the hallway outside of the House, probably outside of her office or something. And Tapper, of all people, kind of pushes back on some of this. Check this out.
Should the Democratic senators from New Mexico, your home state, vote to open the government so that these SNAP funds are not at risk?
Let me be clear. The administration is choosing to starve American children with money that they already have appropriated.
I'm not applauding their tactics.
By the White House.
All right. So one of the funny things about this is as Jake tries to explain himself and tries to be an actual journalist and ask questions, he still has to cover his ass for himself, saying, "Oh, I don't disagree with the premise," but you'll hear that a couple of times.
This is a choice by the White House.
And this is also, Congresswoman, this is also a choice by Senate Democrats to
not
vote to open the government. Yes, it is.
I mean, that's not even debatable. It's not debatable. And he had to admit that. I mean, at a certain point, they have to give in and say, okay, you guys are kind of right on this point. And Tapper finally had that moment, and she's still lying about it.
I understand why they're doing it. They're doing it because they want Medicaid funds restored. They're doing it because they want Obamacare premiums to be extended past the end of the year. I understand the reason.
He never understands the reason why Republicans want to do things. You ever notice that? Oh, I understand why my fellow Democrats want to do it. So I'm empathetic to them.
Let me just be clear. The money for contingency plans is sitting there. That is why the states are suing. The White House is withholding funds from
children. 2 to 3 weeks worth of SNAP funds. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it may not be a big deal to you, but let me tell
you. It is a big deal to me.
For the grandparents. For grandparents
it is a big deal
that
to me.
Literally are feeding their children.
My point is that it's a short-term solution.
In those accounts.
It's a short-term.
At the end of the day, people need to be able to feed their families. And Saturday is when those funds run out.
If you feel
out,
so strongly, Congresswoman, why not ask the Senate Democrats from New Mexico to vote to open the government?
I mean, it's not that hard. And he circles back on this three times. I got to give him a little credit. She keeps trying to pivot, right?
Yep.
Her chamber already dealt with this issue, and they all voted against opening the government, every one of them. Not the case in the Senate. Now, you need five more to cross over. You have one Republican you lost with Rand Paul as well. But Tapper kind of gives it to her here. Wait, wrong one. Here we go.
Here in the House of Representatives, it is shut down. I am fighting to get the government reopened. I am fighting to get funding put back into SNAP that is already existent. And I am fighting for the American people. I am here. But show me a single Republican that is here. Not a single one is here to make sure that Americans are fed on Saturday. That's
because you're in the House. And the House already dealt with this. And you voted against opening the government, Congressman. You voted against that. All right. You put conditions on that were not necessary. So when you got, and I have another, I could play this one too from MSNBC with Hakeem Jeffries. This is an MSNBC host.
It said what you are asking the Republicans to do right now when they control the White House, the Senate and the House is effectively what the Democrats could not do when they controlled all three of those heads of government themselves.
Okay, this is important because on the Obamacare, the ACA subsidies in particular, they were voted on by Democrats twice to be temporary subsidies. It was in order to get through the pandemic, and then they were extended until December of this year as temporary, not permanent. The question, basically the premise that you heard the MSNBC reporter say is, hey, you guys used to have all this. You had the House, the Senate, the White House. Why did you make these temporary if you know, you had the control? Why not just make them permanent? And why are you bitching about it now? Because you had the chance to do permanent.
The 10-year setup for this, for these, or the 3-year setup for the...
So she errs there. It's the 3-year setup. She says 10 years, but it is 3 years.
The expiration of these credits was intentionally put in. It was put in when you controlled the White House, the House, and the Senate. You couldn't get it passed for longer. And so this is a setup that kind of your own creation that you all couldn't extend beyond
yes.
that. Now you
yes,
want the Republicans to do something you didn't do when you were in power.
What world am I living on? That's MSNBC.
How about that?
Holy crap.
It's not a setup beyond what we could do. We extended the Affordable Care Act tax credits in 2022 for 3 years. The program is working. It's providing health care to tens of millions of people in an affordable way, and it should be continued.
No.
It's interesting to us that Republicans decided that they would prefer to permanently extend massive tax breaks for their billionaire donors in their one big ugly bill.
Hakeem Jeffries acts like in this whole class warfare crap that they play about billionaires. Billionaires don't pay taxes like we do. Okay, they have investments. They're not getting a paycheck. Elon Musk is not getting a paycheck. Okay, so stop it. And why won't a reporter push back on that and say, you know, Mr. Would-be Speaker, stop lying to the American people. Everyone's taxes, including your constituents, would go up. Everyone's, if they didn't pass the big, beautiful bill. They know that. They lie about it. Now, they lie about a lot of these things, but they're getting caught in their lies right now by the legacy media, which is somewhat...
You open the fridge,
There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Fresh. Had some big changes in the hierarchy of immigration control and enforcement, ICE, and Tom Homan, we had some audio sound bites from him yesterday. Chris Klemm, who is one of our favorites, former Yuma Sector Border Patrol Chief, who completed a 100-day commitment earlier this year to serve as a special advisor to RFK Jr. at HHS. Chris, always one of our favorite guests. He'll come up here in a couple of minutes. I have to play this, though, because Ethan found the audio of Kamala. And, you know, Dwayne Patterson was kind of joking a little bit because both KJP's and Kamala's books, they're tanking, right? They're not selling very well. I don't know who really the audience would be for either of these. But Kamala is in Australia. And arguably, they press her harder on the media there than they do here.
How consequential was it for America, for American democracy, that President Biden made the decision to run for a second term?
I think that there was an impact. I write in the book in many different ways. We needed more time. And had we more time, perhaps the outcome would have been different.
Uh-huh. It would not have.
No.
Okay. Just so we're clear on that.
And that is a fact. I think it's an undeniable fact.
You say in the book that it was reckless for you not to intervene on that decision to run again, given the stakes. How could you leave the decision to Joe Biden and Jill Biden?
I'm glad she mentioned Dr. Jill. First of all, it's Dr. Jill, but that's a very good point.
As I write, and this book really is about very it's candid. I
word salad.
Offer a lot of candor around my what I did and what I believe I could have done and should have done differently and what was at play overall. And so as I write, I reflect on not talking him out of running and why I didn't. And I ask myself, was it grace or was it recklessness on my part? And I think reckless.
Okay, so the narrative doesn't match up, right? It's either he was fine, KJV, Kamala defended him too. But now I should have stepped in. Now when I'm selling the book, you know what? I should have stepped in.
You were one of the people in the room.
And there were many, obviously, who are
Of course, we understand that.
But I go on to say that part of the reason I didn't is I don't believe in having a conversation for the sake of getting something off my chest.
Sure.
It's about having making it productive.
Mm-hmm. Okay, she goes on, blah, blah, blah. But then she gets, here's where it gets good.
Wasn't Joe Biden then, to put it on him, wasn't his refusal to recognize his own frailties the reason that you faced a nearly impossible task?
I ran against Donald Trump for president. And Donald Trump ran on a platform that was, in large part, I believe, misrepresenting his intentions to the American people. I do believe that there are a fair number of people that voted for Donald Trump who believed him when he told them that his first priority on day one is going to be to bring down prices.
By the way, he's brought down prices.
Everything.
Gas is lower, inflation's lower. All that's the problem with what she's saying here. He's actually done what he promised.
Yeah.
That's the unique, you know, say what you will about Trump, but he's doing what he said he was going to do.
And he didn't. And you combine that misrepresentation of intention with also what was at play in terms of massive amounts of mis- and disinformation.
Now, forgive me.
Here we go.
Calendar in terms of the clock.
I want to interrupt you because that is a world-class pivot, but it is not the question that I asked you, which is about Joe Biden's failure to recognize his own frailties and what that did to you. The question is about Joe Biden. Are you still reluctant to criticize the former president?
Nobody here in this country has ever asked a question with that tone to the vice president.
Love
She's gotten
it.
Away with all of this. And then finally somebody says, hey, quit your BS.
In what regard, please?
Well, just in terms of that question. So you
what
went
exactly
on.
What exactly would you like to ask? Be more specific if you don't mind.
Was it Joe Biden's decision, his failure to recognize his own frailties in that position that put you in the position that made it almost impossible to win that race?
He was not frail as president of the United States.
Okay, so this is where it doesn't match up, right? All of a sudden, he's not frail, but I should have stepped in.
Yeah.
I regret. It doesn't make sense, Kamala.
He had frailties. We all saw the debate.
Thank you.
I do believe that Joe Biden had the capacity to be president of the United States, and I have never doubted that he had the capacity to be president of the United States. If you want to talk about whether he had the ability to endure what a race for president of the United States would require in that political environment in 2024, as I've said in the book, I had concerns.
Okay, she had concerns. He's fine, though. See, this is what Duane and I talked about. He can't run a campaign. He doesn't have the stamina. He could be president, though. That's an easy gig. Anyone could do that.
I was wondering, is there a reason why you won't go to that prolonged frailty question? Well, we saw the debate. We saw the difficulty he had marshalling his thoughts.
I have answered that question. I do not believe
I think it's just hard watching the debate to see how there could not be a problem long term with someone who can't marshal their thoughts. I'm not saying his acuity wasn't present.
I talked about that in the book. And I also mentioned the context in which that debate occurred. And you'll probably remember how I talked about that in terms of what his travel schedule had been.
Oh, yeah.
That what he had been enduring in terms of the timing of that debate. Mm. I talk about it extensively in the book. I'm not shying away from that. That's why I wrote it in the book, because I do know it's a question people had.
Oh, you still haven't answered it.
Nope.
But, man, I loved it when she gets pressed.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I think I played this audio yesterday from Tom Homan. There was a leadership shakeup at ICE.
Look, personnel changes happens a lot. These are changes being, I'm not sure they've actually been in place, and I'm not sure how many this is affecting, but Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem has total authority over ICE and who serves in what positions.
Chris Klemm is with us, former Yuma Sector Border Patrol Chief, also put in a 100-day commitment earlier this year as a special advisor to RFK Jr. at HHS. He's always one of our favorite guests. Chris, welcome back. How are you this evening?
Mark, doing great. I'm actually, I've got a jacket on. I'm in Iowa City, Iowa, doing some speaking about bringing the border to the people, like, to keep everybody informed. So I'm glad to be able to connect with you and talk about what's happening.
You're not too far away from us, just a couple hundred miles to the north. So that's nice to have you here in the Midwest. On the leadership changes in particular, what would you say about that? I mean, what Tom said is, you know, you got different people in charge of departments. You're going to have some changes. Was it a situation where some people weren't on board with what the administration is trying to accomplish here?
Yeah, it could be some of that. Probably is part of that, at least initially. But for you and the audience, look, most of the positions at the top of field offices, sectors like I was in charge of, we're senior executive members, which means we get moved around all the time. It is not uncommon to move chief from chief to chief or move around from a deputy position someplace else. Same thing applies with ICE. But you got to realize this administration is only 10 months old, and so there's a lot of people that were appointed into positions from the previous administration, career employees, but they were towed the line. And, you know, my understanding is there's people at DHS not happy with the amount of numbers or the amount of operations happening all across the country. So maybe it is about that. And but moving people around, like Tom's comment, the secretary has complete authority to do that. And again, if you're not on board with the Trump train, you're going to get run over or cast aside. That's what's happening right now. We saw that early on. I got to tell you, I witnessed it. There were people on my daily phone calls that, you know, after a week or two, they weren't moving the needle. They were gone. So, yeah, I think it's going to be probably people not playing the way they need to play.
Well, that would be expected. And then, meantime, you still have these horrific attacks that are happening to ICE agents. Here's Mr. Homan on that topic.
Protests have the right to protest. We support that. But when they cross that line and they're throwing weapons, throwing objects at ICE, assaulting ICE officers, or impeding their movements, preventing them from leaving a building with a detainee in their possession, that's where you've got to draw the line. I've said from day one, when you cross that line, you'll be held accountable. You'll be prosecuted.
And Chris, you basically have mayors and governors of the state right next to where you are and I am in Illinois, basically making the case to do anything they can to not listen to ICE, to not obey orders, to attack ICE. I mean, they've encouraged violence to a certain extent in some of their rhetoric. And these poor agents, and I've told you before, I'm not really crazy about the ICE agents wearing masks. I wish that that didn't happen. But I also understand the risks that they're under in their families because of being in situations like this.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, and you and I have discussed the mask before, but it's gotten to that point because of exactly your point. You've got leadership in at cities and at state level, and even, you know, Democratic leaders across the country that are encouraging this bad behavior. Again, I agree. Protest all you want, peacefully, as the First Amendment grants you that right. But as soon as you impede, touch, spit, hurl an object, that becomes assault, and that is, you know, you're going to get a consequence. And I got to tell you, I just saw something. I haven't been able to truly verify it yet, but I think there was a stay on that judge's order out of Illinois that basically said, you know, told the chief Bovino he has to report in every day and give daily updates, all that kind of stuff. They basically, the Seventh Circuit Appeal said, nope, not happening.
Interesting.
So, you know, that judge was going down a slippery slope, because you can rule constitutionality on a case, but to sit there and say, tell an agent what he or she can't do in a moment of time when the life may be on the line is dangerous, because you're supposed to, the juries are instructed to see things from the eyes of the officer. And a judge is saying that, oh, throwing tear gas, you don't know what those agents were facing. You're only getting one side of it from the complainant. And so I'm glad that things have gotten a little levity brought to, or some common sense brought back to it. Because Doug's doing a great job up there in difficult times.
I know you're on short time, and you mentioned this event in Iowa. So when you do this event tonight, what is your messaging? What are you telling people?
So, yeah, I part of my job now, since I've been retired, is with Americans for Prosperity. You know, we bring the border to the people. There'll be 50, 60 people that'll be at some of these events. Sometimes there's 200 or 300. But I'm telling them what is currently happening, and I address current events around the country. You know, where we were, what's important about the big, beautiful bill and codifying the law about, you know, the infrastructure and border security. And then we take some Q&As, usually an hour-long event, get to meet people. These are the grassroots folks that are going to go out there and petition and move policy and vote.
I love it.
When it counts and where it counts. So that's one of the things I do when I'm around the country.
Dude, we got to get you to St. Louis somehow. That would be fun to have
you
here and
do an
event. I know. We got to talk about that.
It.
Chris, always great to have you on. You have a great week. Thank you.
You got it.
All right, take care. Had a parent-teacher meeting last night with Alexa's teacher, Sue.
How'd that go?
Actually went really well.
Good.
It's like, it must be a different kid that actually goes to Stanton Elementary in the Rockwood District and lives with me, because the teachers always have rave things to say about her. Oh, we love her. She's the best. I'm like, my daughter? Are you kidding me? No, she's doing really great. But, you know, on a serious note, my daughter and I, we have a lot of conversations. I was so proud of her, Sue. This is a true story. I think I said this on the air before. Maybe I told you this on Monday. But we're in the car on Sunday, and I have SiriusXM up with all the football games, because I want to listen to the football games, the NFL games, right? So what you see on the screen in the car is just the helmets of the teams. So I started doing a quiz. I'm like, what's that team? Cincinnati Bengals.
Good.
What's that team? Minnesota Vikings. She knew 85% of the damn NFL teams. My kids who are in their 20s couldn't do that. The only one she messed up was like the Panthers.
Oh, that's
and,
confusing.
Well, like the Jaguars and the Panthers.
It's all the same
They're
weird
big
colors.
Cats, right?
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, I have serious conversations with my daughter about the life that we're able to live in America, the greatest country on the planet, and the freedoms that we enjoy. And I'm not going to be able to even really scratch the surface on what I'm about to share, but it really is incredible. And I'll put it up on Twitter, and I'd love to get Maisa Alingjad on the show maybe next week. I'm off the next couple of days. But she wrote in the Free Press today. This is, and I don't even know if I'm pronouncing this woman's name right, but the headline of the piece, which is really incredible, is called How the Country I Was Taught to Hate Saved My Life. Today, a judge will sentence the hitman Iran sent to kill me on American soil. It's proof that the country where I sought refuge protects the freedoms that I love. And this puts things into perspective, because you got gay people out there and, you know, the alphabet mafia that are all on the Palestinian side, not recognizing that Hamas would throw you off the top of a building, behead you in front of your loved ones, and burn you alive, right? Because you're gay. But they don't think about those things. But what she writes in here is, growing up in a tiny village in northern Iran, I learned to chant death to America at age, what a guess? Age 7.
Dang.
Along with all the other school children. In the ideology of the Islamic Republic, America is the monster, the great Satan, the other. Every morning, we scream those words until our voices cracked, not out of conviction, but because not joining in was dangerous. At home, our black and white television, she says, I watched hours of programming in which bearded clerics warned women that if a single strand of their hair revealed itself under their hijabs, they would be condemned to hell for eternity. But there was no need to wait for the afterlife to taste punishment. As a teenager, she says, I was beaten by the regime's morality police for freeing a few strands of hair and for daring to wear my headscarf a little too loosely. I was jailed for the crimes of writing political slogans and handing out pamphlets that questioned the Islamic regime. In a prison cell, I learned how dangerous truth could be in the Islamic Republic. And she kind of tells her story, and it goes back to 2005. After she was, you know, an adult, she became a journalist and she was covering parliament there. But she says before anyone had even read her writing, her appearance caused controversy. A lawmaker threatened to punch her senseless because a few strands of her unruly curls, as she describes them, had escaped from my headscarf. He would have carried out his threat had he not been stopped by other officials and journalists. Later on, when I wrote about corruption among the elected members, I was expelled from my post. It was 2009, and I was hopeful that a change for the better would come through the ballot box, but I felt a sense of hope and danger unlike anything before. A few days before the election, the regime's intelligence officers called me in, threatened me, and forced me to sign a pledge promising to not report on the election. When I ignored the warnings, my car was vandalized, the perpetrators left a calling card, a single handcuff hanging from the driver's side door handle. And she admits that that night when that happened, she couldn't sleep. She says she stared at the ceiling, going over her options, and realized that staying silent would not save me. She said, I had to choose, stay in Iran and risk prison or death, or leave and keep my voice alive. What did she do? She left, of course.
Yeah.
And she says, like thousands before me forced into exile, leaving my birth country felt like tearing out a part of my soul. But exile gave me freedom. Here in America, I could finally breathe. I could speak out without fearing the midnight knock at my door. Slowly, I learned that I didn't have to look over my shoulder anymore. The realization, as simple as it sounds, was revolutionary. Wouldn't it be nice to have all the pro-Hamas American haters, all the people that went to the No Kings rally, read this story and hear about how real freedoms are taken away and how great we have it in this country? I even tell my daughter, even compared to Europe, and you know you love Europe. You've been there before. I love Paris, and I grew to really, really become a fan of Barcelona. But their rules are different over there. They do not have as much freedom as we do. Canada, same thing. You know, maybe do we take our freedoms too far? Yes, and I'm glad we do, because we should have freedoms. That's what this country was based on. So she even says, though, it took a while to adjust to my new life. Even though I was free, I still held on to certain habits. For instance, I used to wear a hat to cover part of my hair as a token gesture to my parents' religious beliefs. I still remember the day I took off my hat to host my Voice of America show. I half expected to be beaten by a barrage of batons. When I landed in New York in 2009, I wasn't chasing the American dream. I was simply seeking safety. Naturally, I experienced some culture shock as I came face to face with aspects of ordinary life that many Americans take for granted. This is interesting. This is where you get into the, man, people are different, right? And even I talked about this issue yesterday with New Jersey, still forcing you to not be able to pump your own gas. They culturally in New Jersey, Sue, are kind of proud of that, as weird as that is to us. But she says, on the subway, she's in New York, right? On the subway, I sat down next to a man. No one gasped. No one stared. No one told me to move. You understand what was happening there? In Iran, the simple act of sitting beside a man who isn't family could have earned her a stern lecture on morality, a slap to the face, or a ride in the morality police van.
Good grief.
Then she says, another revelation. I was watching the Brooklyn Nets play in the Barclays Center. In Iran, I was banned from doing something as simple as watching a basketball game for the crime of being a woman. It was the little things that added up over time to a sense of freedom. And she goes on here and she talks about how she grew up believing music was dangerous. They were not, women are not permitted to sing in public in Iran. She's in Manhattan and she starts to hum and then sing out loud, unpunished and unnoticed. I mean, think about all this. And then the story wraps. I have to get to the end of the show here, an audio cut of the day. But in 2021, the FBI comes in and says that she was a target of a kidnapping plot. And
what?
The Iranian intelligence operatives hired PIs to surveil her, camped outside of her home. They tried to kill her, but the FBI got involved. And I don't know what the sentence was today, because today was the sentencing day. And she wrote about that in the Free Press. I'm going to put it on Twitter. You know, all these little punk kids who don't have an appreciation for the freedoms that this country affords them each and every day This should be required reading. It's a little bit above the level maybe of a fifth grade class, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to read parts of that that my daughter will easily understand. You mean there are people in other countries that can't even watch a basketball game?
That's right.
Or sit next to a man? Yes. And there are also people in this country who believe in that crap, like the next mayor of New York, unfortunately. Yep. I mean, think about it. That's what's frightening. All right, I got to do this here.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
I've used a lot of audio, so I'm going to keep it rather simple today. Harry Enten over on CNN, they so desperately want Harry to come in and say, you know, the GOP is getting its ass kicked on this shutdown deal. Trump's in real trouble, right? The Democrats are winning. Except
it hasn't. If anything, it's been helped a little bit. Take a look here. The shift in net popularity versus pre-shutdown. When we're looking at the Republican Party overall, that brand actually up 2 points. That's within the margin of error, but clearly it hasn't dropped. Come over to this side of the screen. Look at the net approval ratings for Republicans in Congress. It's actually up 5 points since pre-shutdown. So what we're seeing here is the Republican brand in Congress has actually improved somewhat.
I feel like I need Kenny Wallace in this moment.
Great.
I'm taking off a couple of days, so I'll see you Monday.
I'll see you then.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.